new CBS Monday.
Federal agents!
Hands where we can see them!
NCIS Hawaii is back.
About to set it up!
New criminals to catch.
Armed robbery, aggravated assault, murder.
And new investigations to be solved.
These guys were good, but even masters make mistakes.
Vanessa Lachey and featuring LL Cool J.
Violin Island, you got it.
Welcome to paradise.
A new NCIS Hawaii, Monday, 10, 9 Central on CBS and streaming on Paramount Plus.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. Are you still listening? Good. Take a deep breath. You needed a break. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. So, yes, you can literally stream a stream. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.
Welcome to Tigers in 20 Off the Boards, a Go Tigers 247 audio podcast hosted by lead writer Christian Fowler, where he brings you breaking news and interviews with players, top recruits, and coaches from football and basketball across the city of Memphis and around the nation. Here is your host, Christian Fowler.
What's up, everybody, and welcome to this episode of Off the Boards. I am your host, Christian Fowler, and joining me is Matt Babcock, a guy that we had on 2 years ago. Crazy enough to think that it's been 2 years since we had him on. NBA draft analyst for basketballnews.com, a guy that's been in and around the game for pretty much his whole life. So we are happy to have him on. Matt, how is everything going?
No, it's going well. You know, I just got back from Memphis yesterday and gearing up for the upcoming season.
Right. So as I mentioned at the top, 2 years ago, we talked for the first time. We did a podcast together. After Memphis's first pro day, and looking back, like I said, that was the 2019 season. James Wiseman, Precious Achiuwa, DJ Jeffries, Damian Ball, a lot of guys that aren't in Memphis anymore. One of the lone holdovers, you know, being guys like Lester Quinones and Malcolm Dandridge. So this is a completely different team that you came and watched 2 years ago. I guess what are your first impressions of the 2021 Memphis team?
You know, I mean, pretty similar, you know, as far as, you know, my approach to the team a couple of years ago. I mean, there's just so much talent. I think the style is going to be a lot different. I mean, that team 2 years ago, I was pretty excited about the guards with Damian Baugh and Boogie Ellis. And obviously it didn't work out for either one of them. They're both long gone. Similar, I mean, the big guys are pretty interesting. I mean, Jalen Duren, I mean, I felt like I was kind of, you know, watching a mirrored image of James Wiseman from the pro day a couple years ago. And they did a lot of the same drills. It was sort of funny. I had my iPhone. I was taking some videos, and some of the same clips I had of Jalen Duren were pretty much the exact same as James Wiseman a couple years ago, to, you know, lob catches and finishes and whatnot.
Yeah. So let's stay on the topic of Jalen, cause you mentioned the similarities to him and James, and there are some from a physical standpoint, but also, you know, James 7'2", Jalen 6'11", Jalen a little bit more built. I'm honestly shocked at just how big he is for a 17-year-old. He looks like a grown man. He carries himself like a grown man already, which is pretty crazy to me. So just staying on that topic of Jalen, and let's not even talk about on the floor right now, just how impressed were you with, you know, how he looked physically when you – I know you've seen him before, but just seeing him now – after being in college for a month or so, and I know he continues to work on his body. So what were the impressions of seeing him earlier this week?
Oh, I mean, he's so impressive physically. I mean, you know, for a kid that's still 17 years old, maybe the best physique for a top talent like that maybe I've ever seen. I'm not sure. I was sitting with, I wrote this in the article I wrote today for Basketball News. I was sitting with Dickie Simpkins, the former NBA player, currently works for the Wizards. And I joked with him. I was like, hey, it looks like you out there. And he's like, I did not look like that when I was 17 years old. And he is a man among boys. And, you know, when I first saw Jalen, and I mentioned this in the article as well, you know, he'd had this reputation of, you know, inconsistent motor. His attitude was a little questionable. And, you know, I've watched him this last year. I saw him at Geico Nationals. I thought he was tremendous. Really, you know, started to take the game a lot more seriously and played hard. And, you know, he seems like he's on the right path. I mean, I'm really impressed with him. And, you know, we did our first big board for Basketball News for this next year's draft last week. And I have him at number four. And, you know, to be completely honest, I wasn't real confident with him at that spot. I thought that, it, you know, could potentially shake up, you know, early on in the season. After seeing him in Memphis, I think he's pretty rock solid. So somebody's going to have to really earn his spot to move ahead of him.
Yeah, and you referenced that article a couple of times. And I'm going to link that in the description and then also in the article that we write for this, because I read it earlier today and I think it was a very comprehensive view of what you expect from some of the guys that are on the roster and how they project as NBA players. But last question on Jalen. You mentioned him, you know, being a little unsure of him and now feeling very confident in him. Something that's kind of weird looking at his game for someone that is so young and reclassified up a year. I feel like he's one of the safest prospects coming into the 2022 draft. After watching him, after seeing him, do you kind of agree with that sentiment now that he just like his long-term projections, obviously, very good because he is so young, but just as someone who's going to come in, kind of reminds me of Isaiah Stewart, somebody that you know is just going to play well. Obviously, I think he has more long-term potential, but do you see that as well? Someone who's just a steady guy that's going to come in and be a contributor regardless?
Yeah, I do. I think that's a great way of looking at it. I think he's safe. I think, you know, I mean, I have no problem putting my neck on the line by saying, hey, at the very worst, this guy is going to be a solid starting center in the NBA. And you can't really say that confidently in many players. And, you know, and I think he's got upside of being, you know, being a top tiered big. Obviously, you know, traditional big men have lost quite a bit of value in recent years. And I think that statement and that philosophy is true. However, you can't deny a guy that's capable of producing. And I think Jalen's good enough to kind of be an exception to that rule. And you know, from a comparison standpoint, he kind of reminds me of somebody. So, you know, I don't think he's gonna be quite Dwight Howard, but he's probably somewhere between Dwight Howard and Emeka Okafor. Which, you know, both those guys in their prime, if he's somewhere in between there, that's a pretty dang good player.
Yeah, absolutely. And let's move on to Imani Bates. And I love the way that you summarize this in your article, you know, just talking about the expectations that he's carried on him from such a young age, someone that was tabbed as a generational prospect, I think when he was 14 or 15 years old. And I guess you can sit back now and debate, were the expectations fair? Were they unfair? I don't ever think comparing someone to LeBron James is fair, especially when they're 15, 16 years old. And over the past year and a half or so, it feels like a lot of national media members have soured on Imani Bates and said, you know, that he's not the player that we thought he was going to be and all these different things. But we've been able to see him a couple times in a Memphis uniform now, obviously not in live game action, but in practice settings. And it's like, okay, I get it. He may not be the next LeBron James, but this kid is really, really, really good. Memphis wants to use him as a point guard this year. What are your immediate thoughts on what Imani can bring to this team next season?
I mean, he's a top talent. I mean, you know, does he have some things you can nitpick? Absolutely. I mean, everybody's freaking out about his short wingspan, but you know, he's a 6'9", you know, guard, forward, point guard. I mean, whatever you want him to do, he's capable. And you know, so I think the expectations are probably unfair. But yeah, I'm expecting him to come in and be a top player alongside Jalen.
And then something that he's mentioned a few times now since arriving on campus is that he wants to develop as a defender. And I think that's one of the, you talk about people nitpicking his game. I think that's one of those things that's been talked about a lot is what he brings to the floor as a defender right now. But obviously that's something that he wants to work on. That's something that Penny wants to emphasize with him. And as we've seen over the past couple of years, Penny is one of the best defensive coaches in college basketball. So what do you see maybe a ceiling being for Imani Bates as a defender collegiately and then at the next level as well?
Well, I mean, one thing I do like about Imani potentially on the defensive end is he's pretty chippy, you know, in a good way and sometimes in a bad way. You know, I've seen him kind of let the emotions get the best of him at times at different high school events. But I do think that's an important attribute to have a lot of times to be an effective defender is just to compete and get after it. And I do think he has that in him. The things that are going to hold him back is, you know, he's not an elite athlete. He's got short arms and he's lacking physical strength. I think the physical strength is something that he could probably address the easiest. Obviously he's not going to stretch out his arms or anything, but he needs to get stronger. But I do think he has a chance of being a decent defender just because he is competitive.
Absolutely. And I want to ask you something because I know how I felt the first time I walked in and saw this team for the open practice a couple weeks ago. I was honestly floored by their size and their length, that they don't look like a collegiate team. And I mean, obviously I watched plenty of that 2019 rendition of this team, and they were long and athletic and had a ton of guys with size, but this team is without a doubt bigger than that team. If you ask me, just from walking out there and just feeling like you're in the land of the Giants. As I mentioned at the top, you've been around a lot of basketball, been around basketball your whole life. Have you ever seen a college team this big, or is this an anomaly in college basketball?
Oh, I don't know. I'd have to think about that probably for a little while. Nobody jumps off the top of my head. I mean, yeah, they're definitely big. I mean, Jalen Duren just by himself, you know, I mean, kind of balances it out, right? I mean, that guy is about as good a defensive anchor at the college level as you could imagine. And then another guy, Earl Timberlake, is a, you know, guard forward. I mean, that guy's built like a football player as well. And, you know, talk about a tough kid. I'm pretty intrigued with Timberlake.
Yeah, and that is the, you know, one of the next guys I wanted to ask you about is Earl. Was somebody that some mock drafts had as a first round pick coming into last season. Obviously didn't play much at Miami, suffered the injury, and is kind of been in and out of rehab since then, and then had surgery here recently, and is finally getting back to 100% and getting into the swing of things. Somebody that I think if you've watched Earl, if you watched the few games that he played at Miami last year. Love his defensive upside, love his versatility, love what he can bring to this team because he doesn't have to be the number one guy. He doesn't have to be the star. What are the top things that you're looking for? Because I know you referenced in your article that he's someone that you're going to keep an eye on this year. What are the things that you're looking for from Earl this year?
Yeah, you know, I mean, most guys that are top talents coming into college, I have usually seen at least once, different high school events or whatever. And, for whatever reason with Earl, I'd never seen him. And then, you know, with the pandemic, you know, I didn't travel around quite as much as I usually do in recent years. And,
right.
So my first time seeing him was at the pro day. And we had discussed him before we did our first big board a week ago. And we're expecting him to be a guy that we put in. I just didn't feel comfortable enough yet. And I would rather, get some criticism for leaving a guy off because I don't know him well enough rather than putting him in just because I'm copying some other scout. And so with Earl, I think the big thing for me is I just need to get more comfortable with him. I would like to see him shoot the ball. From what I understand, his injury with his shoulder did affect his shooting a little bit. So I'd like to see him put it in the hole, at least at a decent rate. And obviously I'd like to see him stay healthy.
Yeah, for sure. And he's somebody that I actually saw, I think it was his junior year of high school in Hoover, Alabama at an Adidas event. And I take that back. Wasn't Adidas event. I think it was Peach Jam. I don't know, Matt. We go to too many events to where I don't remember where I'm at. But I know he was somebody that when I walked in, I was like, that kid should be playing linebacker right now. So he is very physically built. And since then, obviously, has, you know, gotten bigger and is in better shape than he was 2 or 3 years ago at this point. But moving along, I want to talk about DeAndre Williams, a guy that, you know, is an elder statesman, if you will, has been around the game for quite a while. And, you know, a lot of people, when it comes to age and NBA status, they say, you know, if you're past a certain age, you're not going to get drafted. You're not going to be an NBA player. And it definitely hurts DeAndre. Like, we're not going to cut around the point there that, you know, his age doesn't hurt him, because it does. But I think you like DeAndre. I know a lot of people like the way he plays. Is he somebody that you think could eventually be an NBA prospect despite his age?
Yeah, sure. I don't expect him to be drafted. I mean, if he has just a monster year, I wouldn't be shocked by it. Actually, one of my colleagues, Derek Murray, he watched him last year a couple times, and he was really high on him. I could see him being, you know, two-way contract type player, exhibit 10, I think he's got a shot. The age definitely hurts him, and yeah, you know, he's had the weird journey up to this point. I mean, from what I understand, he had, you know, grade problems and injury problems, and you know, hasn't really played a whole lot, even though he's older. And so I'm interested to watch him more this year.
Right, and I got a couple more guys that I want to talk to you about. As far as guys that are returning, and then going to rapid fire a couple freshmen at you. But Lester Quinones, if you're a Memphis fan, he's one of your favorite players on the team. You can't help but love the way that he plays. He really adopted kind of that Memphis mentality that he doesn't care if he scores. He'll go rebound the ball. He'll play defense. He'll pass the ball. He's such a good teammate. You referenced him as a glue guy. I think that's, you know, we've been calling him that for quite a while now, because you can't watch him and not call him that. So, we don't necessarily have to talk about him as an NBA prospect, but what do you like about Lester's game? Because I know you raved about him a little bit in your article.
Yeah, you know, he does a lot of little things. You know, like you said, he's a glue guy. I think he's got a chance to play in the NBA as a complimentary player. I mean, I think role players that find themselves in the right place, the right time. I mean, you know, I sometimes find a lot of success, and he could be in that mold. You know, I think him continuing to develop as an outside shooter is key. I mean, from what I see is he shot the ball pretty well last year. I'd like to see him continue to do that. But, you know, another guy, you know, of the many of the Tiger players that we're going to keep track on.
Yeah, for sure. And then moving along to Landers Nolly, a very polarizing player, especially I'd assume in NBA draft circles, but I know as far as Memphis fans as well, because he felt like a guy that had a lot of empty calories last year. You know, he would have games where he would explode for 25-plus points and games where he would disappear, questionable shot selection at times. But, from seeing him a couple weeks ago, it just felt like he had a different aura about him, that he had, you know, kind of fixed those things and realized, like, I don't have to be the guy on this team. I don't have to be selfish. Like, I'm going to play better if I humble myself and become a team player. What did you see from Landers Nolly, and what do you like about his game?
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. The big thing with Landers is consistency and you know, coming to realization that he's probably not going to be a primetime NBA player. He needs to be more of a specialist and complementary player. I mean, he really has a nice stroke. He's got a very quick release with deep range. You know, Virginia Tech, I watched him quite a bit, and you know, when he was hitting shots, I mean, there was a lot of times he's the best player on the floor, but he just didn't do it consistently. You know, what I saw at the pro day that gave me some promise is he seems like he's maturing. Did not show his quick trigger as much as he did in the past. I think he's got to stay with that. If he can learn, you know, to play the right way and take good shots and really utilize his skill as a shooter, I do think he has a good chance playing in the NBA.
Absolutely. And then, I mean, honestly, just from what I've seen so far, yeah, everybody wants to talk about Amani and Jalen, and rightfully so. I mean, they're future lottery picks, maybe even top five picks. So it's obvious why people want to talk about them. But Josh Minot is a guy that was a little unheralded coming out of high school, but definitely put on some size. He looks to be 6'10 or so. I mean, I think he's listed at 6'7, but I say no way. But was very impressive. Still can handle the ball very well despite adding size. Still finishes around the rim very, very nicely. Is this a guy that you could see being an NBA prospect pretty quickly?
You know, I mean, I would need to see more. I did see him. I can't remember which event it was, but I did see him in high school, and I remember thinking highly of him. And you know, he's got some nice athleticism and length. You know, guys like that have a chance. He just, you know, probably needs to add more to his game. And I need some more time with him to evaluate him properly.
For sure. And then the other two freshmen that have stood out and that have had a lot of people talking are Jonathan Lawson and John Camden. What did you see from them earlier this week?
Yeah, I mean, they both like look like nice prospects, kind of the same story. I need some more time. Obviously, you know, there are so many players to watch at a pro day with a team like this. And, you know, my eyes were set on Bates and Duren and Timberlake. I probably didn't give those guys quite enough attention as I probably should have. But, you know, I'll have plenty of time to watch them, I think.
For sure. And then kind of rounding it out just as a team, with so much talent, with guys like Jalen and Amani and returning guys like Lester and DeAndre that bring that leadership. I guess, what do you see this team being this year? How good do you think Memphis can be this year with some of the guys that they added and the guys that they're bringing back.
Yeah, I mean, I'm interested to see how Penny puts it together. I mean, they clearly have a lot of talent. I mean, probably just as much raw talent as anybody in the country. It just, you know, there's some question marks. I mean, I know they're talking about playing Amani at point guard. I haven't seen him do that in the past. He definitely has the skill set to make some stuff happen. But I'm curious to see them execute those plans.
I got you. Well, Matt, I want to let you get out of here. We appreciate it so much for you joining us. Head over to basketballnews.com and check out all the great content that they have going on around there. As Matt said, he wrote an article recapping his visit to Memphis, going to the Grizzlies game that got shut down a little early, coming to Pro Day over this past week. And obviously Memphis, people in the city of Memphis love being shouted out. So you guys are going to enjoy that article. Like I said, I will link it and everything that this podcast is in. And Matt, we appreciate it so much, man. Have a good one.
Hey, thanks. You too.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Tigers in 20 Off the Boards. If you enjoyed this episode, we would love for you to leave a comment and a rating wherever you download your podcasts. If you're interested in daily content all about the University of Memphis athletic program, please hop over to www.gotigers247.com. Articles are published daily, and you can join the Go Tigers 247 family by signing up for the VIP experience for even more behind-the-scenes information.
Hello, everyone. It's Michael Richards here. You might have seen me on CBS working on their Champions League coverage over the last couple of years. I wanted to tell you about an exciting new podcast that I've been working on. It's called The Rest Is Football. It's me, alongside Gary Lineker and Alan Shearer, two absolute legends of the game. The show combines topical debate from the world of soccer along with outrageous tales from our careers. And I mean, outrageous. Just search The Rest Is Football wherever you get your podcasts. All the best from Big Meats.
If you want to win your fantasy football league, it starts right now. The offseason is the best time to get ahead of the competition. We'll help you win your league on the Fantasy Football Today podcast, part of CBS Sports Podcast Network. Fantasy Football Today has three episodes every week following the latest news, giving you early rankings, early sleepers, breakouts, and busts. So if you're a dedicated fantasy football manager, check out the most dedicated podcast, Fantasy Football Today. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found.